Beyond Shakespeare presents The Life and Death of Jack Straw by Anonymous.
Oi! Oi, what's going on?
Now such a murmuring to rise upon so trifling a thing in all my life never saw up before. And yet have I been officer this 7 year and more. The tailor and his wife are in a great rage, affirming their daughter to be underage.
Why, art thou the collector of the king's task?
I am. Jack Straw, why dost thou ask?
Because thou goest beyond the commission of the king. We grant his highness pleasure in everything. Thou hast thy task money for all that be here. My daughter is not 14 years old. Therefore, she goes clear.
Because thou sayest so, I should believe thee.
Choose whether thou wilt or no. Thou gettest no more of me. For I am sure thy office does not arm thee with such authority thus to abuse the poor people of the country. But chiefest of all, vile villain as thou art, to play so unmanly and beastly a part as to search my daughter thus in my presence.
Why, base villain, wilt thou teach me what to do? Wilt thou prescribe me mine office and what belongs thereto?
What, villain, dost strike me? I swear by the rood, as I am Jack Straw, thou shalt buy it with thy blood.
Oh.
There lie, and be well paid for thy pain.
Help, help. The king's officer is slain.
How now, Jack Straw? Doth anybody abuse thee?
Alas, what? I have killed the king's officer in striking rashly.
What?
Oh, Jack.
A small matter to recover a man that is slain. Blow wind in his tail and fetch him again.
Tom!
Shut up, Tom. Content thee. 'Tis no matter. Jack Straw, God a mercy, herein thou hast done good service to thy country.
Were all inhuman slaves so served as he, England would be civil, and from all such dealings free.
By God's blood, my master, we will not put up this so quietly. We owe God a death, and we can but die. And though the fairest end of a rebel is the gallows, yet, if you will be ruled by me, we'll so deal of ourselves as will revenge this villainy.
The king, God, what? Knows not what's done by such poor men as we.
Aye.
But we'll make him know it, if you will be ruled by me.
Aye.
Here's Parson Bull, an honest priest, and tells us that in charity we may stick together in such quarrels honestly.
What? Is he an honest man? Yeah. The devil he is. He is the parson of the town.
I swear.
You think there's no knavery hid under a black gown? Find him in a pulpit. But twice in the year, and I'll find him 40 times in the alehouse tasting strong beer.
Shut up.
Neighbours! Neighbours! The weakest nowadays goes to the wall. But mark my words, and follow the counsel of John Ball.
Aye!
England is grown to such a pass of late that rich men triumph to see the poor beg at their gate.
Yeah.
But I am able, by good scripture, before you to prove that God doth not this dealing allow, nor love. But when Adam delved and Eve span, who was then a gentleman? Brethren, brethren, it were better to have this community than to have this difference in degrees. The landlord his rent, the lawyer his fees, so quickly the poor man's substance is spent.
Indeed.
But merrily with the world it went when men ate berries of the hawthorn tree. And thou help me, I'll help thee.
He's right.
There was no place for surgery, and old men knew not usury. Now 'tis come to a woeful pass. The widow that hath but a pan of brass and scarce a house to hide her head. sometimes no penny to buy her bread. Must pay her landlord many a groat, or 'twill be pulled out of her throat.
Yes.
Brethren mine, so might I thrive as I wish not to be alive to see such dealings with extremity. The rich have all. The poor live in misery.
Well,
but follow the counsel of John Ball. I promise you, I love ye all.
Yes.
Make division equally of each man's goods indifferently. And rightly may you follow arms to rid you from these civil harms.
Well said, Parson. So it may be, as we purpose to prefer thee, we will have all the rich men displaced.
Aye.
And all the bravery of them defaced. And as rightly as I am Jack Straw, in spite of all the men of law, make thee Archbishop of Canterbury and Chancellor of England, or I'll die.
Yes. Aye.
You tell him, Jack.
How sayest thou what? Shall it be so?
Aye, Jack Straw, or else I'll bide many a foul blow. It shall be no other but he that thus favours the commonalty. Stay we no longer prating here, but let us roundly to this gear.
Aye.
'Tis more than time that we were gone. We'll be lords, my masters, everyone.
Aye.
And I, my masters, will make one to fight. When all our foes be gone, well shall they see before we'll lack. We'll stuff the gallows till it crack.
Tom.
I hope we shall have men enow to aid us herein. What? How thinkest thou?
Tag and rag, thou needst not doubt.
Aye. But who shall be captain of the rout?
That shall you too, for all our Kentish men.
Fellow captain, welcome. Let's about it.
Aye. Agreed, fellow captain, to London.
Aye.
To London.
Aye.
Here's even work towards for the hangman. Did you ever see such a crew? After so bad a beginning, what's like to ensue? Faith, even the common reward for rebels. Swingle them. Swangle them. You know as well as I. But what care they? Ye hear them say they owe God a death, and they can but die. Oh, 'tis dishonour for such as they to die in their bed, and credit to caper under the gallows. All save the head. And yet, by my faith, the beginning of this riot may chance cost many a man's life before all be acquired. And if faith, I'll be amongst them, as forward as the best. And if all fall out but well, I shall shift amongst the rest. And being but a boy, may hide me in the throng. Tyburn, stand fast. I fear you will be loaden ere it be long.
And yet, Lord Archbishop, your grace doth know that since the latest time of Parliament, wherein this task was granted to the King by general consent of either House to help his wars, which he intends to France, for wreak and just recovery of his right, how slow their payment is in every place, that better a king not to command at all than be beholding to ungrateful minds.
Sir John Newton, it seemeth strange to me that, being one with reason and regard of true succeeding prince, the common sort should be so slack to give or grudge the gift that is to be employed for their behoof. Hard and unnatural be the thoughts of theirs that suck the milk and will not help the well. The king himself being now but young of age, if things should fall out otherwise than well, the blame doth fall upon the counsellor. And if I take my aim not all awry, the multitude, a beast of many heads, of misconceiving and misconstruing minds, reputes this last benevolence to the king, given at High Court of Parliament, a matter more required for private good than help or benefit of commonweal, wherein how much they wrong the better sort, my conscience beareth witness in the cause.
When such as we do see the people's hearts expressed as far as time will give them leave, with heartiness of their benevolence, methinks it were for others' happiness that hearts and purses should together go.
The justices and sheriffs of Kent send greetings to your honours here by me.
My lords, this brief doth openly unfold a dangerous task to us and all our trains. With speed, let us impart the news unto my lord the king, the fearful news that, whilst the flame doth but begin, sad policy may serve to quench the fire. The commons now are up in Kent.
What?
Let us not suffer this first attempt too far.
My friend, what power have they assembled in the field?
My lord, are 20,000 men or thereabout?
See here the peril that was late foreseen, ready to fall on this unhappy land? What barbarous minds, for grievance more than needs, unnaturally seek wreck on their lord, their true anointed prince, their lawful king.
Indeed.
So dare this blind, unshame-faced multitude lay violent hands, they wot not why nor where. But be thou still, as best becometh thee, to stand in quarrel with thy natural liege, the sun may sometimes be eclipsed with clouds, but hardly may the twinkling stars obscure or put him out, of whom they borrow light.
Jack! Parson! Come here, you! Here we are, four captains just. Jack Straw, Wat Tyler, Hob Carter and Tom Miller. Search me all England and find four such captains, and by Gog's blood I'll be hanged.
So you will be nevertheless. I stand in great doubt.
Aye, marry what? This is another matter. Methinks the world is changed of late. Who would live like a beggar and maybe in this estate?
Captain Straw and Captain Tyler, I think. I have brought a company of Essex men for my train that will never yield, but kill or else be slain.
And for a little captain, I have the advantage of you all. For while you are fighting, I can creep into a quart pot, I am so small.
But, masters, what answer made Sir John Morton at Rochester, eh? I heard say he would keep the castle still for the king's use.
So he did. Till I fetched him out by force, and I have his wife and children pledges for his speedy return from the king, to whom he has gone with our message.
Let him take heed he bring a wise answer to our worships, or else his pledges goes to the pot.
Captain Straw, how many men have we in the field?
Marry, Captain Carter, about 50,000 men.
Where shall we pitch our tents to lie in safety?
Marry, Hob. Upon Blackheath beside Greenwich there we'll lie. And if the king will come thither to know our pleasure, so it is. If not, I know what we'll do.
Yeah.
Gog's blood, Jack, have we the cards in our hands. Let's take it upon us while we have it.
Aye, marry, for you know not how long you shall hold it. 50,000 men they have already in arms that will draw together. If we hang together as fast, some of us shall repent it.
Oh, Sir John Newton, this strange, unwelcome and unhappy news of these unnatural rebels and unjust that threaten wrack unto this wretched land burdens my heart and interrupts my sleep, that now, unless some better tidings come unto my son, their true anointed king, My heavy heart, I fear, will break in twain, surcharged with a heavy load of thoughts.
Madam, your grace's care in this I much commend. For though your son, my lord the king, be young, yet he will see so well unto himself that he will make the proudest rebel know what 'tis to move or to displease a king. And though his looks bewray such lenity, yet at advantage he can use extremity. Your grace may call to mind that being a king he will not put up any injury, especially of base and common men, which are not worthy but with reverence to look into the princely state of kings. A king sometimes will make a show of courtesy, only to fit a following policy. And it may be the king determines so, that he will try before he trust a foe.
True, madam. For your grace's son, the king, is so well ruled by diverse of his peers, as that I think the proudest foe he hath shall find more work than he will take in hand that seeks the downfall of his majesty. I hope the council are too wise for that, to suffer rebels in aspiring pride that purpose treason to the prince and state. In good time, see where my lord the king doth come accompanied with the archbishop.
My son.
I marvel much, my lords, what rage it is that moves my people, whom I love so dear, under a show of quarrel, good and just, to rise against us, thus in mutinies. But if it be, as we are given to know by letters and by credible report, a little spark hath kindled all this fire, which must be quenched with circumspect regard before we feel the violence of the flame.
My lord, here is a messenger from Kent. Sir John Morton craves access unto your majesty.
Admit him near, for we will hear him speak. 'Tis hard when twixt the people and the king such terms of threats and parleys must be had. Would any gentleman or man of worth be seen in such a cause without offence, both to his God, his country, and his prince, except he were enforced thereunto?
I cannot think so good a gentleman as is that knight, Sir John Morton, I mean, would entertain so base and vile a thought. But here he comes.
Health and good hap befall your majesty.
Oh, so my longing mind desires to know the tidings he doth bring.
The commons of Kent salute your majesty, and I am made their unhappy messenger. My lord, a crew of rebels are in field, and they have made commotions late in Kent, and drawn your people to a mutiny. And if your grace see not to it in time, your land will come to ruin by their means. Yet may your grace find remedy in time to qualify their pride that thus presume.
Who are the captains of this rebel rout that thus do rise gainst their anointed king? Be they men of any worth or no? If men of worth, I cannot choose but pity them.
No, my good lord, they be men of no great account, for they be none but tylers, thatchers, millers, and such like, that in their lives did never come in field before this mutiny did call them forth. And for security of my back return upon this message, they keep my wife and children for a pledge, and hold me out from forth my castle at Rochester, and swore me there to come unto your majesty, and having told you their minds, I hope your grace will pardon me for all, in that I am enforced thereunto.
How many men have they assembled in the field?
I think, my lord, about 20,000 men. But if your grace would follow my advice, thus would I deal with these rebellious men. I would find time to parley with some of them, and know what in their minds they do intend. For being armed with such treacherous thoughts, they may perform more than your grace expects.
With speed return to those unnatural men, and see, Sir John, you greet them thus from us. Tell them that we ourselves will come to them to understand their meaning and their minds. And tell them, if they have any evil sustained, ourselves will see sufficient recompense. Go, good Sir John, and tell them upon the Thames, ourselves will meet with them there to confer concerning their avail. Do so, Sir John, and kindly recommend us to them all.
We shall fulfil your grace's mind in this. And thus I take my conge of your majesty, wishing your grace thrice Nestor's years to reign, to keep your land and guard your royal train.
Farewell, good knight, and as thou darest,
remember them, though they forget themselves.
Your Grace herein is very well advised, with resolution fitting your degree. Your Grace must show yourself to be a king, and rule like God's vicegerent here on earth. I hope, my lord, this message so will prove that public hate will turn to private love, and therefore I say, my lord, you have answered well. The task was given your grace by Act of Parliament, and you have reason to demand your due.
My lord, if so you please, take my advice herein, that speaks in love and duty to your grace. I shall in every matter privilege your majesty and all your lordly train. I mean against your manor of Greenwich town, and so amidst the stream may hover safe. Meanwhile, they send some few and chosen men to give your grace to understand their minds. And thus, my lords, I have adventured to show your majesty my mind herein.
I hope we shall not need to fear to meet those men that thus do threaten us. We will, my lord, tomorrow meet with them and hear, my lord, what 'tis that they demand. Mother, your grace shall need to take no care, for you shall in our Tower of London stay till we return from Kent to you again.
But
my lord, see everything prepared for us. And, mother, thus I leave your majesty, you to the Tower, and I must hence to Kent.
Come on.
There we go. Good. I've got you now.
It is good to make provision, for peradventure we shall lack victuals, and we lie in camp on Blackheath long. And in faith, as long as this goose lasts, we'll not starve. And as many good fellows as will come to the eating of her come. And welcome. For in faith, I came lightly by her, and lightly come, lightly gone. We captains are lords within ourselves. And if the world hold out, we shall be kings shortly. The rest of my fellow captains are gone before to Greenwich to meet the king that comes to know our minds. And while they be about it, I'll make good cheer with my goose here.
What? Your goose is flown away without her head.
Nobs!
Honk, honk!
Come back here with my goose.
Here's a stir more than needs. What means the king thus to abuse us and make us run about his pleasure and to no end? He promised us to meet us on the water, and by our lady, as soon as we came at the waterside, he fair and flat turns his barge and away he goes to London. I tell thee what, we will not put up this abuse.
By Gog's blood, Captain Straw, we will remove our camp and away to London roundly, and there we'll speak with him, or we'll know why we shall not.
God a mercy, what? And here we have done. We will be lords, every one.
Gentle Jack Straw, in one line let us draw, and we'll not leave a man a lawn or a paper worth a whore, and make him worse than a door. That shall stand against Jack Straw.
Methinks you might do well to answer the king in the name of the whole company. Some dozen or 20 men for the nonce that may deliver the minds of you all in few words.
Sir John Morton, you are an ass to tell us what we have to do. Hold your prating, you were best.
I tell thee, Sir John, thou abusest us. But let's to London as fast as we can.
Sir John Newton, what was the cause the king returned so soon, and with such haste so quickly took the shore?
Bargeman, the king had reason for the same. I warrant thee he was not ill-advised.
I think he meant to have commenced some talk with that unruly crew.
He meant so indeed, Spencer. The king and all his company, being rowed with oars so far as Greenwich town. Oh, it was a world to see what troops of men, like bees that swarm about the honey hive, gan strew the gravel ground and sandy plain that filled the air with cries and fearful noise. And from the water did an echo rise that pierced the ears of our renowned king. affrighting so his heart with strong conceit of some unhappy, grievous stratagem that, trust me, with my ears I heard him say,
"These people are not to be talked with all, much less with reason to be ordered that so unorderly with shrieks and cries make show as though they would invade us all. I have not heard nor read of any king so ungently of his people entertained."
So did they all affair like frantic men. That time he thought to speed away apace and take the best advantage of the place.
Indeed, I could not greatly blame his majesty. Myself was not so scared this 7 years. Methought there was sufficient months enough at highest tide to have drawn the Thames dry.
Ere it flow thrice at London Bridge, London, I fear, will hear of worser news.
Neighbours, you that keep the gates, let the king's liege people in, or we must be fain to aid them with balls of wildfire or some other device. For they have spoiled all Southwark, let out all the prisoners, broke up the marshalsea and the king's bench, and made great havoc in the borough here. Therefore, I pray you, let them in.
Porter, open the gate! If thou lovest thyself or thine own life, open the gate!
You have a certain spare goose came in to be roasted. She is enough by this.
What means these wretched miscreants? To make a spoil of their own countrymen. Unnatural rebels. Whatsoe'er by foreign foes may seem no whit so strange as Englishmen to trouble England thus. Oh, happy time, from all such troubles free. What now, alas, is like to be the end of this attempt? But that so long as they are glutted all with blood, they bathe therein.
Come on, sirrah. Here it is set down by our captains that as many of you cannot say bread and cheese in good and perfect English, you'd die for it. And that was the cause so many strangers did die in Smithfield. Let us hear you say bread and cheese.
Bread and keys?
Close.
Sir Newton and Lord Mayor, this wrong that I am offered, this open and unnatural injury, a king to be thus hardly handled of his own people and no other foes, but such as have been brought up and bred in his own bosom, nourished with his tender care, to be thus robbed of honour and of friends, thus daunted with continual frights and fears, hailed unto what mishap I cannot tell. More hard mishap than had of like been mine, had I not marked been to be a king.
It shall become your grace, most gracious lord, to bear the mind in this afflicted time as other kings and lords have done before. Armed with sufferance and magnanimity, the one to make you resolute for chance, the other forward in your resolution. The greatest wrong this rout hath done your grace, amongst many other wicked parts, is in frighting your worthy lady mother, making foul slaughter of your noblemen, burning up books and matters of records, defacing houses of hostility, St. John's in Smithfield, the Savoy and such like, and beating down, like wolves, the better sort. The greatest wrong, in my opinion, is that in honour doth your person touch. I mean, they call your majesty to parley, and overbear you with a multitude as if you were a vassal, not a king. But, my lord, with reverence and with pardon too, why comes your grace into Smithfield near the crew unarmed and guarded with so small a train?
If clemency may win their raging minds to civil order, I'll approve it first. they shall perceive a coming quiet wise, accompanied with the Lord Mayor here alone.
May it please your grace that I shall raise the streets to guard your majesty through Smithfield as you walk?
No, Lord Mayor, 'twill make them more outrageous and be a mean to shed a world of blood. This is the place I have appointed them to hear them speak, and have ventured to come among this foul unruly crew. And lo, my lord, see where the people comes.
My masters, this is the king. 'Tis he that we would speak with all.
Newton, desire that one may speak for all to tell the sum of their demand at full.
My masters, you that are the especial men, his majesty requires you all by me, that one may speak and tell him your demand. And gently here he lets you know by me, he is resolved to hear him all at large.
Aye, good, my friends, I pray you heartily. Tell us your minds as madly as you can, and we will answer you so well to all, as you shall not mislike in anything.
We come to revenge your officer's ill demeanour, and though we have killed him for his knavery, now we be gotten together, we will have wealth and liberty!
It is enough, believe me, if you will, for as I am your true succeeding prince, I swear by all the honour of my crown, you shall have liberty and pardon all, as God have given it and your lawful king.
Air will be pinched with poverty to dig our meat and victuals from the ground that are as worthy of good maintenance as any gentleman your grace doth keep. We will be kings and lords within ourselves and not abide the pride of tyranny.
I pray thee, fellow, what countryman art thou?
It skills not much. I am an Englishman.
Marry, sir, he is a Kentishman and hath been my scholar ere now.
Little good manners hath the villain learned to use his lord and king so barbarously.
Well, people, ask you any more than to be free and have your liberty?
Well, liberty!
Then take my word, I promise it to you all, and hear my general pardon now forthwith, under seal and letters patents to perform the same. Let every man betake him to his home, and with what speed our clerks can make dispatch, your pardons and your letters patent shall be forthwith sent down in every shire.
Hooray!
Marry, I thank your grace. Ob Carter and the Essex men will home again, and we take your word.
We believe you all, and thank you all, and presently we will commandment give, that all this business may be quickly ready.
I tell thee what, this is not that I would have. I come for more than to be answered thus.
Do what thou wilt, Jack. I will follow thee.
How? And if it be to the gallows?
Why? That is the worst.
And faith that is, sure, but if you will be ruled by me, trust not to his pardon, for you die. Every mother's son, but captains, go forward, as we have begun.
My masters, the boy speaks wisely. I've read this in Cato. Take good counsel while it is given.
Content, boy. We will be ruled by thee.
Oh, boys, move out.
And if the Essex men will needs be gone, content. Let them go suck their mams at home. I came for spoil, and spoil I'll have.
Captain Miller, I perceive you take no care which way the world goes.
If faith, Nobbs, I have made a bonfire here of a great many of bonds and indentures and obligations. Faith, I have been amongst the ends of the court and among the records, and all that I saw, either in the Guildhall or in any other place, I have set fire on them. But where hast thou been?
Oh, I've been with our captains, Straw and Tyler, at St. John's in Smithfield. But, Sirrah, I can tell you news. Captain Carter has gone home, and all our Essex men, and I fear we shall all be hanged. Therefore,
Look you to yourself, for I will look to myself.
Well, if we shall be hanged, it is but a folly to be sorry, but go to it with a good stomach. Riddle me a riddle. Here is my staff. I shall be hanged. I shall not be hanged.
What doth that fellow?
It seemeth, madam.
I shall be hanged. I shall not be hanged.
He disputeth with himself whether he shall be hanged or no.
Alas, poor soul. Simple enough, God wot. And yet not so simple as a great many of his company.
If it be, as we are let to understand, my lord the king hath given them general pardon.
So he hath. And they, like honest men, are gone homeward, or at least the most part of them.
But peace! Here is the king's mother! She can do much with the king. I'll treat her to beg my pardon of the king wisely. I'll go to her. Humbly unto your worships, Thomas Miller requesting your favourable bequest, touching the permission of distray towards the said Captain Miller, which in blunt and flat terms is nominated... Sursum Cordum, alias Dictus Hangum Meum, from which place of torment God us all deliver and grant us to be merciful while we live here together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sir, understanding your worship is the king's mother, lamentably in the behalf before spoken, to stand between me and the gallows, or to beg my pardon, in which you shall not only save a proper, handsome, tall fellow and a stout captain, but also you shall purchase the prayers of all the alewives in the town for saving a maltworm and a customer to help away their strong ale.
What means the fellow by all this eloquence?
It seems he fears he shall be hanged, and therefore craves your grace's favour in his behalf.
Alas, poor fellow! He seemeth to be a starken idiot. Good fellow, if thou wilt go beg thy pardon of the king, I will speak for thee.
Will you in faith? And I will give you a tawdry love.
Oh, madam, here comes an unruly crew. Let's be gone.
Yes, let's.
The king and his nobles think they may sleep in quiet now they've given us a little holy water at the court, but there's no such matter. We be no such fools to be babbled out with words and after come to hanging. What? Do the thing thou comest for. If thou wilt be ruled by me, we'll not leave it so.
Rantara! Have it all, my boys!
Sayest thou so, my heart? Then farewell, my pardon, for I'll do as ye do. Hang together for company.
Neighbours and friends, never yield, but fight it lustily in the field. For God will give you strength and might and put your enemies to flight to stand against them day and night. For of my honesty, your quarrel's right.
Oh, Parson Ball, before you all, if all fall out not well by following thy counsel, and that by listening to thy talk, to the gallows we do walk, Parson Bull, I will tell thee, and swear it of mine honesty, thou shalt be hanged as well as we.
Peace! Here comes the king, I trow.
Make ready! What company be those, Newton, we do see? Be they of those that promised us to part?
Even part of those, my good and gracious lord, that promised your highness to depart.
Why, then, I see they stand not to their words. And sure they should not break it so with me, that have so carefully remembered them. This is a part of great ingratitude.
And, like your majesty, the Essex men, with far more better minds, have parted company, and every man betaken him to his home. The chiefest of these rebels be of Kent, of base degree. and worse conditions all, and vowed, as I am given to understand, to nothing but to havoc and to spoil.
Lord Mayor, if it be so, I wot it is a dangerous and unnatural resolution. I pray thee, Newton, go and speak with them. Ask them what more it is that they require.
My masters, you that be the chiefest of the rout, the king entreats you kindly here by me to come and speak with him a word or two.
Sirrah, if the king would anything with us, tell him the way is indifferent to meet us.
You are too many to be talked with all. Besides, you owe a duty to your prince.
Sirrah, give me the sword thou wearest there. Becomes it thee to be armed in my presence?
Sir, I wear my weapon for mine own defence, and by your leave will wear it yet a while.
What, wilt thou, villain? Give it me, I say.
Newton, give it him.
I say, give me the sword thou bearest up, for that's the thing I tell thee I affect.
This sword belongs unto my lord the king. 'Tis none of mine, nor shalt thou have the same. Proud rebel, wert but thou and I alone, thou durst not ask it thus boldly at my hand, for all the wealth this Smithfield doth contain.
By him that died for me, I will not die until I have seen thee hanged or made away!
Alas, Lord Mayor, Newton is in great danger, and force cannot prevail against the rout.
Old Rome, I can remember I have read, when thou didst flourish for virtue, and for arms, what magnanimity did abide in thee. Then, Walworth, as it may become thee well,
deserve some honour at thy prince's hand, and beautify this dignity of thine with some or other act of consequence. Villain, I say, whence comes this rage of thine? How durst thou, a dunghill bastard born, to brave thy sovereign and his nobles thus? Villain! I do arrest thee in my prince's name, proud rebel as thou art. Drink that withal!
Run clean through.
Learn thou and all posterity after thee what 'tis a servile slave to brave a king. Pardon, my gracious lord. For this, my act is service done to God. And to yourself.
Lord Mayor, for thy valiant act in this, and noble courage in the king's behalf, thou shalt beceive us not to be ungrateful. Fear you not, people, for I am your king, and I will be your captain and your friend.
Pleaseth your grace for you to withdraw yourself? These rebels then will soon be put to foil.
Hold your ground!
Soldiers! Take heart to you and follow me. It is our God that gives the victory! Drag this accursed villain through the streets to strike a terror to the rebels' hearts. London will give you power and arms, and God will strengthen you and daunt your foes. Fill Smithfield full of noise and joyful cries, and say aloud, God save our noble prince!
God save our noble prince!
Hold your ground!
Spare not, brothers!
Lord Mayor and well-beloved friends, whose readiness and aid of us and ours have given just trial of your loyalty, let me now to your counsel recommend, and to your sad opinions generally, the end of all these great and high affairs, this mighty business that we have in hand, and that I may in brief unfold my mind. My lords, I would not yet, but mercy should, against the law in this hard case prevail, and as I gave my word unto you all, that if they then had left their mutiny, or rather had let fall their wrongful arms,
Their pardon then should have been general. So will I not, yet God forbid I should. Though law, I know, exact it up my hands. Behold so many of my countrymen all done to death and strangled in one day. The end is this, that of that careless rout that hath so far unnaturally rebelled, the chief offenders may be punished. And thus you know my mind. And so, my lords, proceed, I pray you, and no otherwise.
When all the hope of life and breathing here be ta'en from all this rout in general, if then, at instant of the dying hour, your grace's honourable pardon come, two men half dead who lie killed in conceit, then, think I, it will be more gracious than if it offered were so hastily, when thread of life is almost fret in twain, to give it strength breeds thanks and wonder too.
So many as are ta'en within the city are fast in hold to know your grace's will.
There is but one or two in all the rout whom we would have to die for this offence, especially that by name are noted men. One is a naughty and seditious priest, a person more notorious than the rest.
Pleaseth your grace, they have been rid apace, such special men as we could possibly find, and many of the common rout among. And yet survives this ball, that cursed priest, and one Wat Tyler, leader of the rest, whose villainies and outrageous cruelties have been so barbarously executed, the one with malice of his traitorous taunts, the other with the violence of his hands. The gentle Ruth nor mercy hath no ears to hear them speak, much less to pardon them.
It is enough. I understand your minds. And while I wot in causes such as these, kings may be found too full of clemency. But who are those that enter in this place?
Pleaseth it, your grace, these be the men whom law hath worthily condemned to die, going to the place of execution. The first is that Ball, and next to him Wat Tyler, obstinate rebels both. For all the rest are of a better mould, whose minds are softer than the foremost twain. For being common soldiers in the camp, were rather led with counsel of the rest, descrying better to be pitied.
Morton, to those condemned men we see, deliver this, a pardon to them all, excepting, namely, those two foremost men, I mean the priest and him they call Wat Tyler. To all the rest, free pardon we do send, and give the same to understand from us.
My friends and unhappy countrymen, whom the laws of England have worthily condemned unto death for your open and unnatural rebellion against your lawful sovereign and anointed prince, I am sent unto you from the King's most excellent majesty to give you to understand that, notwithstanding this violence which you have offered to yourselves, in running furiously into the danger of the law, as mad and frantic men upon an edged sword, yet, notwithstanding, I say, that you have gathered rods to scourge your own selves, following desperately your lewd and misgoverned heads, which have haled you onto this wretched and shameful end, which is now imminent over you all, that must in strangling cords die like dogs, and finish your lives in this miserable, reproachful sort, because ye would not live like men, but far unlike yourselves, unlike Englishmen, degenerate from your natural obedience and nature of your country, that by kind bringeth forth none such, or at least brooketh none such, but spits them out for bastards and recreants, notwithstanding, I say, this torment wherein ye now live, looking every hour to suffer such a shameful and most detestable death as doth commonly belong to such horrible offenders, yet it hath pleased the King of his accustomed goodness to give you your lives and freely to forgive you your faults, sending by me general pardon to you all, excepting one only accursed and seditious priest that so far swerved from the truth and his allegiance to his prince, and one Wat Tyler, whose outrage have been noted so outrageous in all his actions as, for ensample to all Englishmen hereafter, His Majesty have thought good to account him, and this parson, first stirrers in this tumult and unnatural rebelling, the greatest offenders that now live to grieve His Majesty. And thus I have delivered the message of the King, which is in effect general pardon to you all, and a sentence of death under the two arch-rebels, John Ball and Wat Tyler, for which great grace, if you think yourselves anything bound to His Highness, as infinitely you are, let it appear as far forth hereafter as you may, either by outward signs of duty or inward loyalty of hearts expressed. And to begin the same, in sign of your thankfulness, say all, God save the King!
God save the King!
Well, then, we know the worst. He can but hang us, and that is all. Were Jack Straw alive again, and I in as good possibility as ever I was, I would lay a surer trump ere I would lose so fair a trick.
And what I said in time of our business, I repent not. And if it were to speak again, every word should be a whole sermon, so much I repent me.
Away with the rebels. Suffer them not to speak. His words are poison in the ears of the people. Away, villain, stain to thy country and thy calling.
Why, Morton, are you so lusty with a pox? I pulled you out of Rochester Castle by the pole!
And in recompense, I will help to set your head on a pole.
Pray you, let's be polled first.
Away with the rebels. As gave your grace in charge, I have delivered your highness' pleasure amongst the prisoners, and have proclaimed your grace's pardon amongst them all, save only those two unnatural Englishmen. Oh, might I say, no English nor men. That Ball and Tyler, cursed rebels both, whom I commanded to be executed. And in your highness' name have freed all the rest, whose thankful hearts I find as full replete with signs of joy and duty to your grace, as those unnatural rebels' hateful mouths are full of foul speeches and unhonourable.
It is no matter, Morton. Let them bark. I trow they cannot bite when they be dead. And, Lord Mayor, for your valiant act and dangerous attempt in our behalf to free your country and your king from ill, in our behalf and in our common weal, we will accept it as the deed deserves, and thank you for this honourable attempt.
My sovereign lord, 'twas but my duty done. First unto God, next to my lawful king. Proceeding from a true and loyal heart, and so I hope your grace esteems thereof.
Lord Mayor, I will adjoin to thy degree another title of a lasting fame. William Walworth, receive by mine own hand the order of knighthood, first knight of thy degree, but henceforth all which shall succeed thy place shall have like honour for thy noble deed. The city arms shall bear for memory the bloody dagger, the more for Walworth's honour. Call for your herald and receive your due.
My gracious lord, this honourable grace, so far above desert, sith what I did my duty and allegiance bade me do, binds me and my successors evermore with sweet encouragement to the like attempt. Your Majesty and all your royal peers shall find your London such a storehouse still, as not alone you shall command our wealth, but loyal hearts, the treasure of a prince, shall grow like grains sown in a fertile soil. And God, I praise, that with his holy hand hath given me heart to free my prince and land.
Then sith these dangerous broils are overpast, with shedding of so little English blood, 'tis for the fame and honour of a prince, well to reward the actors of the same. So many of thy brethren has accompanied thee in Smithfield here about this bold attempt. When time shall serve, I'll knight them as thou art. And so, Lord Mayor, Newton, Morton and the rest, accompany us to guard us to the tower. Well, we'll repose and rest ourselves all night.
traitors forward. Here's even work for the hangman. Did you ever see such a crew? After so bad a beginning, what to ensue? The common reward for rebels. Swingle them. Swangle them. You know, as well as I. You heard them say they owe God a death, and they can but die.
In The Life and Death of Jack Straw, by Anonymous, Jack Straw was played by Polly Hall, Wat Tyler by Lee MacDonald, Tom Miller by Hugh Wellapooley, John Ball by Rob Meissen, and Nobbs by Sarah Golding. King Richard II was played by Nemini Stone, the Archbishop by Adam Thirkettle, the Lord Mayor by Simon Nader, Sir John Morton by Geir Madland, Sir John Newton by Hayden McCabe, the Queen Mother by Gillian Horgan, and the Usher by Pamela Flanagan. The Tax Collector was played by Robert Crichton, Hob Carter by Andy Barrett, the Messenger by Mark Scanlon, and the Southwark Men by Alan Scott. Other parts played by members of the company. Music was composed and recorded by Jack Lawson. Technical presentation by Robert Crichton. Background and spoilers about this play and production can be found on the podcast feed. This audio presentation of The Life and Death of Jack Straw was chosen and supported by our patrons. These plays can only happen thanks to their support, so do consider becoming one today. You get to vote for the plays we do, like this one. And because you get to hear the work first, you even get to give us feedback as to what we make and how we make it. So if you can, go and pledge something at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. We could be doing the play you want next.